Welcome to the Beyond Barriers podcast. When women lead, share performance and profits go up 50%. Results are more powerful when everyone is empowered. This is the insight that brought the four founders of Beyond Barriers together. We came from a diverse set of leadership backgrounds with a common goal: to close the gender gap at work and expand economic opportunities for everyone. Tune in each week as one of us interviews inspiring guests who share stories and cutting-edge strategies that will help you learn what helped them go further faster. Welcome to today's episode. We want to welcome you today to a very special episode where, well, we're going to kick it off very differently. We want to toot our own horn a little bit. We want to practice what we preach and do a little bit of self-promotion because today is a really big day. Today, you are listening to the 300th episode of the Beyond Barriers podcast. And well, we wanted to celebrate that for a moment. And so I have joining with me today, our very own Jackie Zarnecki Thompson, one of our founding team members who has been with us through the thick and thin as we are growing this amazing organization. If you've been listening since day one, you've been here for those 300 episodes, right? Five seasons of interviews with inspiring guests who have been sharing their stories, their remarkable journeys, their cutting-edge strategies that have helped you learn what will help you go further faster in your career. And so as they've all shared in these episodes, and what we constantly are saying is that we can't do this alone. All of our guests have boldly stated this, that you need your community, you need your tribe, you need your people to help you rise up. And so our goal for this podcast today really is to share a little bit about our Executive Accelerator program that many of our members and all of our company clients that we work with put their individuals, their talent through, and really have you learn a little bit about who we are and what we do. We've had so many people listen to our podcast and then they join our program and they're like, we had no idea that you do so much more than a podcast. So today's episode, you're going to get a breakdown of that, right? We're going to talk about our proprietary momentum metric that breaks down as these 25 essential elements to identify your strengths and pinpoint your barriers to success. And we also, as we talk about in every episode, is where you really need to hone in and focus so that you can go further faster. Mm-hmm. And so the momentum metric is all about going onto our website, taking this momentum metric and really gaining the clarity on where your strengths are and where it is that you need to start thinking about spending more time and developing those areas of focus. And so we're going to dive into it. And who better than to share that with you than Jackie on our team, who really is living her moniker, the experience architect, where really she helps our members experience this journey and hone in on it. She's been through thick and thin with several of the members from the beginning to the end, watching them grow and each of us growing alongside with you. And so we're going to walk through this momentum metric that we have here at Beyond Barriers and have Jackie share with you her insights about the momentum metric, how we use it as a team, but how do we use it for our members as well. So Jackie, let's dive right into it. Let's start off with this first question on what does the research show in terms of career gap and career development? And what does that all mean to you? And how do you share this with members whenever they are onboarding onto our program?
We know that we predominantly work with women and diverse professionals, right? Not exclusively, but predominantly. And we know that there is some inequity between the proportion of people who start out across all of these demographics and the proportion of people who end up in high leadership. And so much of what the research says and what I have seen is that is not because women and BIPOC professionals lack ambition. It's not because we don't have the skills. It's not because we don't have the drive. It's not because we couldn't do it. It has a lot to do with the fact that there are navigational strategies that are not communicated. And so one of the things that I have been surprised by again and again for myself, as well as the people that I'm working with, is that it's such simple things that can make the biggest difference, right?
Yes.
So we see in the momentum metric, one of the questions that people almost always score the lowest is, I know the path to promote my impact and influence. And it's because actually, you know, when the rubber hits the road, or whatever that phrase is, mm-hmm. like it is hard to know what to do next. It is hard to know what's appropriate. Who do you talk to? What do you email? Can you go around your manager? What if that relationship isn't great? Understanding how to handle those situations is where I think there's a big gap. And that gap then shows up in boardrooms and C-suites and economic disparity from across demographic breakdowns. So that's something that we're targeting and that we're working on through the accelerator.
You're so right. And I think what you were sharing in terms of knowing the path, because there's lots of questions that we ask in the momentum metric, right? And to be specific, there's 25 questions. And we really do hone in on five areas, which we refer to Beyond Barriers as the five C's, right? And it's clarity, courage, conviction, commitment, community. And we're intentional on those five C's because we've brought in all of the research and the neuroscience and the learning theories of what it takes to get ahead. But we were also intentional around making clarity the first thing. Can we talk a little bit about what is resonating with individuals around clarity and why we are so adamant on focusing on clarity first before we even dive into courage and all of the other things that we go through in the program?
Clarity is hard. And I think it's hard, not because it's complicated, right? But in the power of clarity, we're asking our members and ourselves, frankly, questions that as grown adults, we don't get asked very much. So if you think about when you're a kid and you're in school, you're constantly being asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? You graduate and you start your first job and no one's asking you that question anymore. And so it becomes really easy, particularly for high achieving people, to just go with the flow, follow the ladder as promotions happen, right? And that is good and that works until it doesn't. And I know that I felt that in my own career where I climbed the ladder until I got to a point where I finally put my head up and looked around and I was like, what am I doing, right? Mm-hmm. And I really hadn't thought at all about what I was capable of or what I wanted. I allowed myself to feel very pigeonholed, right? And so in the power of clarity, it's all about asking our members and ourselves, what do you love to do? What do you love to learn about? What do you like to continue to improve upon? Mm-hmm. And when you start to answer those questions, at first it feels like maybe I should have moved and become a yoga teacher. And once we get past that gap, it's about finding the themes that tie what you love to what you do every day. And that opens up so much opportunity, right? Because it's not about having a direct correlation to what you're doing and what you love, but it's about finding these themes and finding the way it makes you feel in your day to day. And that makes everything else possible.
Yeah.
So,
and I love what you said in terms of the questions. We may have been asking ourselves that when we were young, what do you want to be when you grow up and all of those things? But you do get to a point where, like you said, you graduate and you think you're supposed to know all of these things. And then you stop asking yourself those questions. And then we also fall into the typical thing that I personally, in my 25 years in corporate, managing talent management processes, see where people start abdicating the responsibility to their direct managers or to the HR leaders or to the processes of promotion of like, oh, what is the next step I'm supposed to be doing? And I'm going to wait for someone to tap me on the shoulder to say what's next, opposed to being intentional on driving your own career, right? And so I think those were some of those important things that for me were the aha moments of, no, if no one is really going to be as invested or care about my career trajectory as much as I am, right? And I shouldn't be letting my manager do that for me because they're having to do it for multiple people on the team and themselves. And so they're going to do the bare minimum, right? And so I think that's super important that you shared, like we are not asking ourselves those questions. And you, your own experience where you say you picked your head up and you're like, what am I doing or where am I? Exactly. There's a journey that we take people through in the accelerator program that kind of mirrors the momentum metric as well. Can you talk a little bit about that experience that our members go through in the accelerator? Like, what does it look like? How long is it? And what can they expect at the end?
Yeah. So the accelerator goes over 12 weeks. And over the course of 12 weeks, you would meet with your cohort and your coach for 90 minutes a week. Same day, same time, 90 minutes. And in between those sessions, there are some videos for you to watch or podcasts, naturally, for you to listen to, mm-hmm. to consume the content. And these are those lessons that we're trying to pass down, right? That those nuggets of information that allow you to understand who you can email and how you can email them. In some cases, there are actual templates to say, like, use this, if nothing else, right? Or steps to take to understand your strengths. You have those lessons in between. And what we find from our members is that it feels like a big investment at the beginning, right? At the top, mm-hmm. thinking about your schedule and everything you have going on, saying to yourself, do I have an hour a week to do this content and then 90 minutes a week to sit with this group? And it feels like a lot. I will say that for myself when I went through it and I hear it over and over again. But what we find is that the members who really put the time in, right? And by put the time in, I mean show up for those 90-minute sessions. Ideally, everyone has done everything prior to them, but that's not real life. Real life is things happen. Mm-hmm. So the members who show up for those 90-minute sessions, they start to talk about it like self-care. They start to talk about it like the moment where they get to think about and reflect on things for themselves. And it feels less like an obligation and more like an opportunity. And I think that's really important. And we talk a lot here at Beyond Barriers about how all work compounds. And that's true in the accelerator too. So we start with clarity, where we're asking you, what do you care about and why do you care about it? Right? Mm-hmm. Monica, you're talking about your manager and your manager not necessarily knowing when or how to promote you. Right. Your manager can't know that if you don't tell them, right? They can't know what you want to do if you don't tell them. And you can't tell them if you don't know. And so in the power of clarity, it's all about figuring that out. How do you talk about what you're good at? How do you talk about what you want to do and why you want to do that? What your unique value is? And then we move into courage, where you think about, okay, so if you know that, what are all the ways you're going to trip yourself up? What are all the ways you're going to get in your own way to say, I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. If I could have, I would have already been promoted. Mm-hmm. All of those things that pop up. And then as we continue, we say, all right, so you've got that. So what's the world going to throw at you? What change is coming, whether it's in your industry or whether it's demographically or politically, how is that going to impact your path? And yes. How can you prepare? And then break it down into really incremental steps for yourself, along with the community that you need to carry you along the way. Mm-hmm. And so by the end of the 12 weeks, it's not a done deal, right? So we start the 12 weeks with the baseline momentum metric. We end the 12 weeks with the final momentum metric. And we see a significant growth from our members there, right? Significant shifts in momentum. Mm-hmm. But that's not the end of the journey. And so our membership is an annual membership. And what we see is that the real like rocket ship acceleration happens really 3 to 6 months after the program ends. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is it's like you're learning by a fire hose, right? Like you've got tons of strategies, tons of lessons that are being thrown your way. And we know they're not all going to stick and they shouldn't all stick. But over the course of the accelerator, you're picking the ones that really work for you. And then you get to apply them. And once you start applying them and really building the muscle to continue to move forward in the direction that you want to go, all of that compounds and the momentum compounds and the rewards compound and on it goes.
That's a really good description of you talking about how it's a never ending thing. And here at Beyond Barriers, we do call ourselves kind of the world's first career fitness app because it can be associated, or the analogy is fitness. Like, mm-hmm. it takes you a while and sometimes takes you that boot camp or that physical trainer or somebody to come in and help you get kickstarted in your health journey. And in those first 90 days, you learn all of the techniques and the things you should be doing, diet, nutrition, whatever it is. And then you figure out what works for you. But then you then have to continue doing that maintenance, right? It's a never ending thing. I mean, if you don't use it, you lose it. So if you're not using that muscle, you're going to lose it. And I think career fitness is the way we have to start thinking about our careers, is that you have to constantly be flexing those muscles in different areas and building those skills so that you move ahead. Because if you start coasting, then you start losing the momentum, right? And we're all about the speed and the momentum of moving forward. So I can appreciate the analogies of you sharing of how sometimes you're not going to see those gains until 3 to 6 months after, because you're starting to apply what you're learning and you start to see results later on into the program. Now, we're always getting asked, because people go to our website, they start asking us about things, and we have this big button of joining the waitlist. Can you talk a little bit about that process of how can somebody actually join the Beyond Barriers community, even if their company isn't sponsoring cohorts of members to onboard? Because typically that is the main way that people come onto our platform, but can you talk a little bit about the waitlist?
Yeah. So the waitlist is simply an opportunity for you to say, hey, I'm interested in learning more. The executive accelerator that Monica talked about is really geared toward professionals with 15 years of experience who want to really highlight and make a difference in their impact and influence, right? So thinking about how do you support your teams? How do you support yourself? How do you support your company with really crystal clarity, courage, conviction, commitment, and community? And so on the waitlist, you're raising your hand, right? And so you're giving us an email, you're giving us your name, and you're added to the waitlist. And what triggers then is a communication from me. And I send an email out to say, hey, we're delighted that you're here. There are two steps that you can take now. Now that you've filled out the waitlist, there are two things that we'd love to see you choose to do. One is apply for an upcoming cohort. And those are the cohorts that we talked about, that 12-week accelerator program. Those are cohort-based. And so at the executive level, those are generally fewer than 20 people. And they're 20 people who have also, just like you, self-selected, who have extraordinary experience and who are ready to continue to level up. They're led by one of our founding coaches or our executive coaches, and they're tremendous opportunities for transformation and growth. So when you do the waitlist, you get that message from me, and it will say, apply for an upcoming cohort. Or if you're not quite ready, you want to learn more, I send you a link to my calendar, and we can meet to talk about what your goals are, what our programs are, and how hopefully we can support each other. So Monica, can I turn the tables on you?
Yes, absolutely.
As Chief Learning Officer, you have been... this is your baby, right? You've been around this entire time.
Yes.
The momentum metric is really interesting. It shows, it gives us an incredible insight into how our members start and how they continue. Mm-hmm. And it's a point in time assessment, right? So how did you develop it? Where did that come from? What's informing the questions that we ask?
That's a really great question. So you're right. This was a brainchild kind of thing that over the course of my 25 years in corporate America, working in diversity, equity, and inclusion around talent management programs of how do you help underrepresented groups move as quickly or as their non-diverse peers in the workplace. And so through lots of research, through working with colleagues and peers of really trying to understand what actually helps people move ahead. And really, it boiled down to what we distilled into 25 kind of essential elements that if you focus on these areas and work towards mastering them, they will help propel you. And if you are ignoring them, they can be roadblocks. And so it really did come down to those five C's of gaining clarity, the trends we were seeing in promotion rates and representation rates at the top. And I think one of the aha moments for me was in 2019, a research report came out that Working Mother Media, their research arm that is now called Seramount, released this research where they had surveyed over close to 10,000 professionals, men and women, ambitious professionals, about clarity on, do you have a clear plan on where you want to be in the next 5 years in your career? And they also asked them, do you know the path on how to get there? And what I remember looking at that report and reading this statistic over and over, because I couldn't believe the disparity in numbers. And so roughly around 70% of men said they knew where they wanted to be in 5 years. And half of that group said they knew the path on how to get there, or they knew who could help them get there. For women, only 15%, 15% said they had clarity on where they wanted to be in 5 years. And in that moment, I remember thinking, if you don't know where you want to go, how the hell are you going to get there?
Right.
And then less than half of that 15% knew the path on how to get there. And so that in that moment was like, we need to figure out where we want to go. Like, yeah. Because you start looking at all of these numbers of more than 51% of women are graduating from four-year institutions. More women are graduating than men. And they get into these organizations, and then 5 or 7 years later, that 51 or 50% drops down to 40%. And then 10 to 15 years into their career, that 40% drops down to 30%. And then when you start getting up into the C-suite, you have single digit representation numbers of women, and then even lower numbers when it comes to BIPOC professionals. And so that's where you start seeing that trend of like, what is happening? And it's the lack of clarity of like, where I want to go and how do we get past it? Then we start to think about, okay, once you have clarity on knowing where you want to go, then how do you make sure you gain the courage of stepping into that dream, yeah, into that goal, right? And then really starting to think about, what are those limiting beliefs that you have been taught or that you believe? What is the, where are those belief systems? Where are that, what is that coming from? And how do you disrupt those? Yeah. And so we really got into the power of courage of getting people to start identifying, how do you step into your power? How do you really start really actioning on those things? And then once you start really moving forward with this sense of confidence and learning how to build it, then it's like, okay, we need to focus on anticipating what could get in your way, not just yourself, but what are the other things that could get in your way and how you navigate around those things, right? And so being able to identify is half the battle, right? Like it's, that's half the battle. Once you identify it, then it's just like, okay, how do I navigate around it? So that's why power of conviction is all about learning to anticipate and be that future ready leader who's always thinking ahead and using some of the strategies and frameworks that, you know, the most innovative people use. And so we distilled through this momentum metric of asking those questions of like, are you doing these things and you really applying some of these strategies and frameworks? And then we were like, okay, now that you have the clarity, now that you're gaining the confidence, and now that you are starting to anticipate what could go wrong so you could mitigate those consequences and still move forward, now you need the plan, right? Because like you said, in the momentum metric, one of those questions is, I know the path to increase my impact and influence. That is the lowest score usually for most people. And so then we start thinking in power of commitment, how do you break down this big goal into palatable kind of like goals that you can actually start achieving? So how do you put some of those strategies that the most successful people use in order to do that? And then we move into the power of community. Once you have your plan, we all know that you can't be the superhuman. You can't do it all by yourself. So the power of community of, are you actually tapping into this vast resource of leverage that you have in your community and making sure that you are building relationships with influential people that can help you get ahead and starting to get people to unlearn those belief systems of, oh, I don't want people to think that I'm using them, or I have some sort of MO that like I'm not being genuine with the relationships, but really starting to learn about, there are relationships that you build that you lift each other up. And how do you start thinking about reciprocity? So there was lots and lots of research that went through there, countless things that we then tried to distill into this momentum metric to get you to ask you these questions, help you assess where you are, and then have a game plan of, okay, this is what I need to start doing. But we also helped you put it in like the order of, you should tackle this first. And then there's some compounding effects as you're going through those five C's. And yeah, so that's really what it came down to. And then we married that with the accelerator program of helping people start to gain all of those insights for themselves. That's that introspection and awareness so that they could start applying. And then like you said, we see them start applying. And 3 to 6 months later, you start seeing all of those changes really have significant impact. And like you said, there's subtle changes, but that have significant impact. And I think that's really like the science behind what we were trying to pull together and help people start to actually take action. And I think that's the difference. It's focusing on the how to do it. Everybody is always telling you what to do. You're going to one-day seminars, two-day seminars, workshops, and everybody's saying, here are the 5 characteristics of a leader, and this is what you should be doing. But nobody tells you how to do it. And we really wanted to focus on the how.
Yeah. I think you're right at the connection between the momentum metric and the accelerator. Mm-hmm. Because as you were talking about courage, I couldn't help but find myself thinking about, there is this difference in gender. There is this difference. And thinking about, okay, yes, we all start at the same level, but I don't have the societal supports I need if I choose to have a child, or I don't live near family, or I've been in this space. And so being able to grapple with that internally and recognize two things, right? Two things can be true at the same time, even if they don't feel like they can.
Yeah.
In that you are in the driver's seat of your career and you're functioning within systems that are not always going to be friendly or supportive for your aspirations. And being able to go through that in a cohort with a coach who can help you have that conversation and wrap your brain around that disconnect, right?
Yes.
I think it's so valuable.
Absolutely. And I love what you said just now about we're functioning in systems that weren't built for us, right? And we can't blame the system either, because if you think about, I've worked at multiple organizations, right? And I've been fortunate to be at organizations like Goldman Sachs, like Google, like all of these organizations. But you have organizations like Goldman Sachs that are over 100 years old.
Yeah.
And when they were founded by five white men who really weren't thinking about what the demographics of their people or their company was going to look like 100 years later. And so much has changed in the world and the demographics and all of that changed. And so it's one of those things where sometimes those success metrics or the benchmarks are still very antiquated, and they were built for very white male masculine kind of characteristics. And we're having to help people learn that success can look very different in very different ways. But you have to really start looking internally to say, how much do I acculturate to these benchmarks? Because if you cross that line, you lose yourself, right? And so really getting to this point of what does success look like for you? And how do you make sure that you know what it looks like? And then you make the decision on, does this really gel with my values and the corporate values, right? And so you start learning how you work through those things and finding the best kind of avenue for yourself, right? And you're the best path forward for you.
Yeah, that's super important. And I think it's one of the things that we say in our kickoffs for our new cohorts every time. And I say it again at multiple yes. sessions throughout, that we don't really have an agenda, right? It's not like as if we want to see people go through these cohorts and we want to churn out a whole bunch of new C-suite executives. It really is about finding what works for you, right? Yes. Reconciling for yourself, in your heart and in your mind, what you care about and what you do day to day. And I think that we've been spectacularly lucky is not the right word. It's yeah. intention and it's, but that I think the members feel that as they're going through the accelerator. And mm-hmm. that's very much in large part, I think, to the tone that you've created in many of the lessons and in many of the steps along the way.
What if you knew exactly where to focus to go further faster? Imagine having clarity on your strengths and barriers and the ability to take action and gain unstoppable momentum to deliver results in advance. Take the Beyond Barriers Momentum Metric quiz to get a personalized report on the 5 C's, core categories used to measure and accelerate success. Visit gobeyondbarriers.com/quiz to get your report today.
I will say that the feedback we get from individuals who go through the program is that it's like no other leadership development program they've ever been through. And part of it is intentional, right? Because I spent the better part of 20 years in leadership development roles, right? In rolling these programs out that I've always felt there was something missing. And we really try to capture that in the Beyond Barriers program. And people will constantly say over and over that this program really is hitting on the gaps that was missing for some of these other programs. But part of it is the real self-assessment of individuals really looking internally and asking those really simple questions, but hard questions yeah. that they haven't asked themselves in a decade or more. And I think that's really important.
It is. I agree. I'm reminded of, we got testimonials at the end of one cohort, and a woman said, when asked how she would describe Beyond Barriers to someone else, she said, it's like a support group for work. And I mean that in a good way, that's really different yeah. than a lot of other leadership programs you go through.
Yeah.
So I know you talked about at the top, we offer two kinds of programs, right? One for companies to offer to their employees, and then mm-hmm. another for more senior executives to join as the accelerator individually. What are the outcomes of each? What do you see?
So it varies on what the organization is looking for. I mean, we've had the great thing is that the companies are even informing us and teaching us the various different use cases for the accelerator programs. But we have like the large cohort program where we have 100 individuals who will come in. But what we really strive to do is to break it down to where this will never be a lean back experience. This is not going to be something where you go in and you can turn your camera off and lean back and just listen. It causes you to engage and answer these questions for yourself. And we always try to break it down into breakouts, small breakouts where there's less than 10 of you and you really start developing relationships with others and really getting you to understand that you aren't experiencing a lot of these uncomfortable kind of feelings or the hard things in isolation. You will start sharing things that everybody else will be nodding their head. And then you realize I'm not the only one. Like I thought I was the only one dealing with this, but it's human nature. And we're trying to normalize some of those things so people can understand how they can get through this together, right? And have your accountability partners and your cohort as your accountability group to help you move through the difficult challenges that you might be facing in the workplace. And so that will work with organizations where they might have large group. And then we have some small group that are much more intimate. And, you know, of course we know this, the smaller the group, the more intimate and the more engaging and more transformational it can be for you. And we always tell people and we remind people over and over that it's hard. Change is hard. And unlearning is harder than learning. And you might get to a point sometimes where you question whether or not you're going to make it, that I can do this. And you will come to points where you're just like, you know what? I don't have time for this. Let me go do some other things because it's hard. It's one of the coping mechanisms that we have when things get hard of just like, you know what? Let me shove this under the rug and go do something else. But we tell people if you just gift yourself the time, it will really shift your mindset in the way that you focus on work. And so to answer your question, companies will come to us for various different reasons, whether it is a female specific only program, or sometimes their ERGs will come and say, hey, we want to do this for our ERG community. And then sometimes we're told, listen, we want to give this to all of our employees at moments of transition, whenever they just got promoted to from a individual contributor to a manager leader, and they need to learn how to shift and think differently. So lots of different use cases that we work with companies. And for individuals, we started getting a lot of people reaching out to us and saying, hey, my company doesn't work with Beyond Barriers right now. Yes. And so we tell them two things. We're like, listen, introduce us to your organization and we can see if we can get a Beyond Barriers group started there. Or we do have the executive accelerator for those people who have 15 years of experience or more, that we will bring you in and you'll be put together with a curated cohort of other like-minded individuals so that you can have that experience outside of your organization. And future goals are, we'd love to democratize this and open it up to everybody, and we're working on building the platform to scale in that regard. But right now we're working directly with companies, and there are opportunities for those leaders who have 15 years of experience or more.
You just touched on so many things that I would like to talk about. But one thing that I think is true of us, and in large part because of the demographics that we've worked with, is that our community, which meets regularly, right? We bring people together once a month, if not more, in a formal capacity, and then lots and lots of informal offshoots of members who have developed relationships. It's a lovely, diverse community. Yes. And that's something that I think is really powerful, because you're able to see across regions, across industries, across level, so much growth and so much momentum, and really then get to feel a part of something bigger than yourself.
Yeah. And I think you hit on it. I mean, you go through the 3-month boot camp and it's going through your freshman year in college, and you have this cohort of people you build relationships with, and then the journey continues. But even after you finish college, you have this nucleus of people that you stay in contact with, or whether you are in some sort of like sorority or fraternity or something of the sort. Yeah. But I think the beauty of it is, and it comes down to the neuroscience, right? Of how people, the behavioral science of you're going through a journey together and you bond through some of these very, I would say, intimate and authentic moments of learning with each other. And you're learning some like-minded, you're like-minded, but you're learning strategies and a vocabulary that then you all get, right? And you start to be able to communicate and understand where they're coming from when they start talking about, hey, like I took my momentum metric again and I need to focus on clarity, the power of clarity. And I need you to be my accountability buddy to help me carve out my UVP. And so you start with this language and people understanding what it is that you're trying to do. And it's powerful. And the when you join, it's you when you initially join, it's a year-long membership. And so you go through that journey and you continue to build. And then you can expand outside of your cohort, right? Like you said, there's offshoots of groups of people who are meeting and saying, hey, we're in Dallas, we're in New York, we're in Chicago, let's all get together. You start expanding your network with like-minded people that you're going to be able to gel with because you have this shared experience.
Okay, Monica. So one of the things that we've touched on a couple of different times here, the groups that we work with. And for the people who've been around from the very, very beginning, we started working with women exclusively, in large part because that is a huge demographic of people who have historically not ascended the ranks. Mm-hmm. And recently we've expanded that to support mixed gender cohorts. How has that turned out? What does that look like?
It is, we always knew we wanted to do that, right? But, you know, in any business case, right, we wanted to be laser focused and really hone in on, like you said, where is the biggest pain point? And at the time, it has been globally, females, women representation in the workforce has always been a challenge. And so that was a pain point that many organizations were dealing with. So we started there. But as our CEO, Nikki, always says, we always compare ourselves because we're going to be this huge, big unicorn, right? But to Amazon, Amazon started with the books and then they built the infrastructure to then like be everything, right? Mm-hmm. We always had the intention of starting with women, but then also knowing that all of the strategies and frameworks and everything that we teach in our program were gender agnostic. These were true kind of through the research and through all of the work that we pulled in, these are strategies that the most successful people in the world leverage. And so that's gender agnostic. And so we also knew that in order for people to really own them and like make them their own, we had to wrap them in stories that resonated with them or with analogies and things. And so we really focused on making sure that our executive coaches and others who were facilitating the program could share stories that resonated. But then the beauty of it is having the members share their stories as well so that they could start learning from each other, the whole concept of social learning, right? And so, yes, we were always getting asked, when are you going to make the switch? When are you going to make the switch? And we made the switch, right, in late 2023. And I want to say that I was pleasantly surprised, but I always knew that this was going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. The men came in and were just as engaged. And what was happening was women were realizing that their male peers, it was a myth-busting kind of situation, right? It was like they were realizing that their male peers had some of the same struggles and pain points that they were having, but they just never had a safe space to share those things and be vulnerable and starting to realize that they also deal with imposter syndrome. They also deal with some of these, what they would consider systemic barriers. They also deal with difficult managers or how to handle those types of things. And so it was really fascinating to see sometimes both the men and women really broadening their frame of reference of like, oh my goodness, like I thought it was a gender thing. And I realized that it's not. So it's doing a lot of really amazing things and helping them grow and become more aware and almost be better allies for each other, right? And realizing that the workplace is a really difficult place to navigate, no matter who you are, and that we can all rise together. And so we're seeing a lot more of that where men will share and say, listen, I hear you all saying that it's really hard for women, but it's really hard for me too, because X, right? There's so many things that influence our belief systems. And when you get into an organization, you have to understand what are those corporate values and what are your personal values. And in some cases, they might clash. And mm-hmm. how do you make sure that you are adjusting accordingly so that you can move ahead? So I have found it fascinating. And I get excited every single time when you start creating that safe space for all of them to start sharing. Yeah. And when your male participants start becoming more vulnerable and sharing and saying like, hey, it's not just you all. There's nothing wrong with you because I feel the same way. It almost makes the female feel more confident and saying, wait a minute, I've been fretting over this for no reason because the guy next door is dealing with the same thing. Why don't we just work together in getting past it?
Totally. I have to say that first mixed gender cohort.
Yes.
I think I was right alongside you. Like I understood why on paper it should work. But I wasn't real sure that it actually would. And when the cohort ended and we took a look at the momentum metrics from the baseline to the finish, it was consistent. Yeah. Men, women across areas saw the same type of growth. And so, it really does transcend groups and spaces.
I mean, I truly believe in the power of normalization of like, it's just, we don't know what we don't know. And then in isolation, we think it's just us.
Right.
And when you start getting into spaces where you see that we're all dealing with the same thing, you don't feel as guilty or you don't feel as much shame of like, oh, it's not just me. Okay. Yeah. Now what do we need to do together? Right. And I think that's the power of it.
This is the last thing I'm going to ask you. I think we'll see. You had talked a bit about transitions, right?
Yes.
And when we were talking a little bit about community, we were also talking about you'll go back and you'll find someone and you've got this consistent language. And the one thing that came up for me as you were talking about that I think is really important is that, and I said this at the beginning too, in different words, this is not a one and done situation. Yes. As our ambitions change, as our perspectives change, as our industries change, the things that we will want are also likely to evolve. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that I have found really valuable because I know that when I went through the program initially, I was in that moment where I had just lifted my head up, right? Mm-hmm. And now I'm thinking, look at all of the things that I've learned over the past 3 years. Look at all of the new perspective that I have. Mm-hmm. And now I reapproach clarity from a very different place, but the questions are still super relevant.
Yes.
And so that's the kind of thing that the program is very evergreen. And as we talk to our members, I think even in those monthly community calls, they come back to some of these same questions over and over again, because mm-hmm. as we change, there are things that are worth exploring again.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you were talking about in transition is really powerful. I mean, we have milestones in our career and some milestones may take longer and some are shorter, but every single time you have a transition, what we hope that our BB members, our Beyonders are realizing is that with every transition, with every milestone, with every obstacle, there's an opportunity. Like today we were talking about this in one of our cohorts. There's been a big, massive reorg in the organization. And a lot of them were nervous and they were talking about like, what does this mean for me? And I'm going to have this new manager and a new like skip line manager and all of these things. And we had another member saying, actually, this is amazing because we've just learned to better articulate our unique value proposition and how we can add value. Now it's a blank slate. And with this new manager, I can go in saying like, hey, this is who I am. These are my superpowers. This is what I'm known for. This is like, I can own this story for this new manager. And so that's what we talk about in terms of these transitions of that every time you get promoted or every time you go to a new team or get assigned to a new project or you're working with a brand new client, you have an opportunity to own the narrative and the story of who you are and what is your unique value proposition. Yeah. And like you said, it's those questions over and over. And when it comes to power of community, the people who helped you get to this new opportunity may not be the same people who can help you get to the next opportunity. So you have to constantly be thinking about what's next, who's next, and how do I get there next, right? Yeah. And so it is constant. Like the only constant is change. Right. And so you're always having to go back and revisit your clarity. You are going to have more or less where your North Star is, but there might be 1 or 2 degrees that you shift a little bit. But if you keep going back and asking, what do I want to be known for today? What do I want to be known for now in this new role? What do I want to be known for on this new team? What do I want to be known for with this client? it's one of those things that constantly you keep evolving, right? And so that's why we tell people, go back and take the momentum metric and figure out which questions you need to revisit, because it's a constant. It's a constant change.
And thinking about personal transitions too, right? Yeah. I think that's equally relevant. I think about when I came back from maternity leave, for example, my ambition didn't wane at all, right? I was very ambitious. And also what I had been doing day to day before my boys were born was not anymore what I was interested in doing at that time.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks.
Yeah. Well, this has been awesome. But you know what? You did turn the tables on me. You turned into the host somehow. I'm going to take it back. And you are officially our podcast guest. Okay. I want to, because this is part of my favorite thing of all of our podcasts, is the lightning round questions, because we want to know Jackie, right? We want to know some of the little nuanced things that make Jackie. What book has greatly influenced you?
This has nothing to do with my job. I read The Cider House Rules when I was in Spain. It was the biggest, fattest English language book I could find in the library. Mm-hmm. And I had been in Spain at that point for probably 5 months and doing everything in Spanish. And so all I wanted was to read in English. And that book single-handedly shaped the way that I thought about the world and thought about politics and thought about women in ways that I had just never really cracked open before.
I love that. And I love how you were saying that you just wanted an English book.
As many English words in one place as I could find. And then it turned out, to be actually really life-changing.
I love it. I love it. What is your favorite inspiring quote or saying?
Ooh, I don't know if this is inspiring. I am a very anxious person by nature. And I have a ring and there's an inscription on it that says, "Worry is not preparation." And that is the kind of thing I come back to all of the time, because it's really easy to let your brain just run with things, but that's not productive. And so I try to remind myself of that regularly. Worry is not preparation.
I love that. Yes, because I think we all do that. We can all spiral downwards and you spend all this energy worrying instead of putting it into action of how can you mitigate that worry?
Yeah. So, where are you now? What's happening now?
Yeah. I love it. I love it. What is one word or moniker you would use to describe yourself?
We all laugh because the moniker is one of the pieces of the Power of Clarity that can be really influential and really strong. And we support our members with it all of the time. And I am very open about the fact that mine has changed constantly. I'm playing with Experience Architect. The one that I come back to time and time again, though, is Champion of Working Moms. That's the belly of who I am. And I think that's the one I come back to.
And like I tell people, we try on monikers for size, right? And whichever one resonates with you, and you just know like when it fits and it's who you are and you can drop it and people are like, that's you, right? Yeah. And so I love them all. But, and like I say, sometimes depending on the audience, I share a different moniker. So it's like those power identities, right? Who do I need to be right now for this person, right?
Yeah. I think, for me, right?
Or for me. Yeah, exactly. Next one. What is one change, a habit, a behavior, an action that you implemented that made your life better?
I made a conscious decision, I don't know, years ago, as an adult, but not within the past 10 years, that I was no longer going to make decisions based in fear. Mm. And I had grown up surrounded by people who had really good lives, but who always maybe limited the choices that they made because of fear or worry or anxiety or doubt, right? Mm-hmm. And at a certain point in my life, I decided I did not want to be that way. And so I consciously said, I will no longer make decisions based in fear, which in and of itself is terrifying.
Yes.
And I have to go back to it all the time and remind myself, but that has opened up so many opportunities for me.
Yeah.
And so that I would say is the biggest change that has had the largest impact.
I love that. It resonates so much with me because I remember, and you will laugh because I say it all the time. For me, when I hear the word fear, for me, what stuck was false evidence appearing real. Mm-hmm. And for me, the one that really resonated, which was really like calling myself out, was finding excuses and reasons not to do it, right? Yeah. And that was me all the time, the fear of like why I shouldn't or who's going to upset or any of those things.
What will they think?
Yeah. I love that. I love that one, Jackie. So here's my favorite one, and we're going to close out with this, but what power song would you want playing as you walk out onto the big stage to get our Beyonders super excited?
Dolly Parton, 9 to 5.
I love it. Oh, I love Dolly Parton too.
Like, she's so good.
Yeah, I love it. Working 9 to 5. I love it. Well, Jackie, we could go on. And the beauty of it is that we work together. But thank you so much for joining. And I know that you were like, me, podcast? I don't want to do this. You're the magic that happens behind the scenes. And you are the experience architect. And you're always making sure that our Beyonders and our members are enjoying their experience. And when they're not, you make it better. So thank you for all of that. Thank you for your time. And I enjoyed this conversation.
It was so fun. Let's do it again.
All right. Well, we get this all the time and you know it because our podcast guests sometimes are reaching out to us. How do people stay in contact with you?
Conveniently, you can get me at email. It's Jackie@gobeyondbarriers.com. LinkedIn is our best friend. So It's LinkedIn. Jackie's our Nikki Thompson.
Love it. All right. Thanks.
You got it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Beyond Barriers podcast. There are thousands of podcasts out there, and we are so grateful that you've chosen to listen to ours. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and tell a friend, or share what you've learned on LinkedIn and tag us. We'd love hearing from our audience. Visit us at gobeyondbarriers.com, where you can subscribe and find show notes, links, and the best way to connect with our guests.